Welcome to Choosing Leadership, a podcast for high performers with big dreams and for leaders who know that they are more powerful than the level that they are currently playing. I am Sumit Gupta, your host and the founder CEO of the Deploy Yourself School of Leadership. I am here to help the best leaders get better and to help organizations massively improve their output and impact, and at the same time eradicating workplace stress. Yes. Completely eradicating, not just reducing, completely eradicating. I believe in creating a future and a work culture where people wait for Mondays, not Fridays, and get to do their most meaningful work. The aim of this podcast is not to provide you more content, but instead shift the context under which you operate. This podcast is titled Choosing Leadership because that is what leadership is, a choice. In each episode, I will celebrate leaders who have made such choices, which are not always easy and comfortable, but which has helped them get to where they are today. And let us celebrate the leader in us for choosing to move over our fears, for choosing to be motivated by something bigger than ourselves, and for choosing to deal with every challenge that comes on the way. Let us celebrate you right now for stepping into the unknown and taking courageous action, as those were the moments when you chose leadership. At the end, I will share how you can be our next guest on this podcast. And with that, let's get started. Mohammed Idris is a humanitarian and currently the executive director at Allied Sudan, formerly the American Refugee Committee. There are very few people that I have interviewed on the podcast who match the kind of impact Idris has made and continues to make each day. From very humble beginnings in a Sudanese village to leading a team of 900 in a complex humanitarian crisis, Idris shares the driving force behind his commitment to humanitarian work. The conversation unveils his passion for co-creating solutions with the community, the challenges faced in delivering essential services amid conflict, and the need for global attention and support for Sudan. Tune in for a profound explanation of leadership in the face of diversity and adversity in this episode. Hi, Idris. Welcome to the Choosing Leadership podcast.
Hi, Sumit. It's my pleasure to be here. It's really honorable to be part of your program. And I heard many things about you, and I'm looking for our conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. And it's a pleasure from my side as well to have you. I have heard some wonderful things. You were recommended to be interviewed on this show, so I'm looking to unravel that further. But for our listeners, right, can you start by sharing a little bit of who you are and what is it that you do?
Yeah, thank you. Definitely, yes. I am Mohammed Idris, and I am executive director for Allied Sudan. But I am start as many of Sudanese very humble background. I grew up in the villages, and I am the first generation that made it to the college and go on from early 2003-2004, then joined humanitarian work out of curiosity, but also because I grew up in a small community villages where they look uplifting, someone give hope. And based on that, I joined humanitarian because they start in 2003-2004 in Sudan. And I was lucky enough to be selected for a scholarship to do public health master in UK. And I returned back to my country. Again, I work for many other NGOs, including MSF, IRC, MSF, that Medicine Sans Frontier, which is Doctors Without Borders, UNICEF, IRC, International Rescue Committee, Mercy Corps. Then I went outside the country where I did a huge humanitarian response in Iraq after liberation of Mosul, where we responded for within 1 week for 1.5 million displaced out of the city. And I was working with Save the Children at that time. And then also my work expanded to Save the Children in Iraq, Save the Children in combined with Syria, Northeast Syria. And after the revolution, I decided to come and support my country because there is open up space for people to come and share. But also there was general hope within the Sudanese after the revolution that is took place 2019, where youth came together. And with that energy and spirit, we came to join the Ferris DRC, Danish Refugee Council, and then I joined American Refugee Committee by that time, and now it's Ally. So I have more than 20 years working mainly in humanitarian response and humanitarian assistance.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing that background. Like, what I want to ask you is that as a first generation, as you said, in the college, you could have done many things. And you said right from the beginning, you choose humanitarian work. So can you share, even at that early age, what was the pull towards that? And has that been an easy decision for you over the years? Because I'm sure that with your experience, with your talents, you can find a position anywhere. So can you share what ties that together to what you're doing?
Yeah, it's also start again with a story. When I graduate and then I came, they start people when come to my background is public health, and I came to stay a federal minister of health, then to distribute those professional fresh graduate to where they need. Since I entered the ministry building, I noticed something that unusual. All the people are there, they don't want to go to the rural areas. And all they want to be within the urban, then because they want to build and continue their education and also benefit are different. And at that time, they asked if possible for one within even rural area to go and work in a new displaced population camp that set up because of the conflict in the west of the side. And I just sat there for almost 30 minutes and no one coming forward. And trigger me that I look back and my background again come as a flash. So people in my village, no one really want to go. And even this, my village will be better position compared to the newly displaced people. And that triggered me immediately to volunteer, even though it is a job, but to come forward and say, okay, I really want to go. And since I start there, I found my passion and I found it is really rewarding. It is not easy. And every day there is a story. You are sometimes you look at the people, you look at their stories and they share and trust with you. They make you sad sometimes, you make you cry. But at the end of the day, you do small things that change, make some changes in their life moving forward. It is not an easy, I should take. If I decided to go somewhere, there is other opportunities, even including at that time, professor assistant at one of the universities. But I can't found enough energy that the energy that I found here, that going and every day meet the people and listen to their story. It is a combination of devastation, but also inspiration and hope.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it takes a great amount of courage and character to make those tough choices. Right. True. So can you share how have you evolved as a person in the last 20 years? As you said, it's not easy what and also what you do. How have you changed or evolved as a person, as a leader in the past 20 years?
Yeah, so one of the key things that I learned out of this working in humanitarian 20 years is when making decision, it as the first time is hard. For me to take that decision when I'm looking at the board of Federal Minister of Health, where they dispatch new fresh graduate to the rural and urban, then also my decision to go and work on IDBs close to fighting lines, and also to the rural area where there is much less life when you compare to the town, but also my decision to join humanitarian response in Iraq while there is fighting and life can be lost is a matter of seconds at any time. And we, several times we have been evacuated, several times we stay underground for hours, sometimes for days, and we miss our families. But in general, the rewarding thing that evolved me, the story that I listened for from the people, the hope that you see in a very challenging environment, children and women, still they fight for their hope, they fight for their future. That is really inspiring. And that also, every day when I remember that, I go to the office, I go to my desk and talk to the people. And also one of the key things, when you talk to the people, when you listen to these people, regardless the level of your education, regardless the level of experience, I can assure you 100%, you learn every day a new thing. Every day a new thing when you listen to these people. And I guess that is also, while also I do my job, benefit as a leader, but they really help me to shape my perspective, to shape my personality, to shape my leadership style, and make me the person that I am right now.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And coming to right now, can you share a bit more about your current challenges? I think you're leading a large organization right now. So are you still involved with the day-to-day or like the ground-level activities, or is it more from an organizational perspective? How is it right now?
Yeah, it is a balance. Yes. Yeah, so as Sudan program, we are the largest within Allied family. We are 900 staff, 99% of them are Sudanese. We are reaching annually 1.8 million with beneficiary with water, health, nutrition, and protection programming. We are throughout these 3-4 years, from pandemic to revolution to the war, our staff continue to provide services without interruption. We are the first organization that in the East Sudan, where we have maternity hospital in a very remote area where there is no other facilities, no other even road to take pregnant women in due to nearby hospital. That is a big challenge, and we are in terms of budgeting also growing everywhere. We have more than 26 grants annually. We need to manage them in terms of compliance, but also responding to the need. With all that, always when I interest, I do engage at high level to ensure that I meet the donors, I meet the government official at ministries level, and I meet also with the embassies that to explain the situation right now in Sudan, and also how we take the story of those people to other to ensure the funding is there, but also to ensure that it's highlighted in the global media to ensure that at least they have human rights respected, human group aware of the some of those development. But when I go always every 1 month to 6 weeks in the field, at that time I turn over my phone and I just go and meet the people, listen to women, listen to the children, listen to the elders people, listen how the life look like. And also as Allied approach, we are listening to the people. Our approach that we don't know all the answers. We are listening to the people and try to work with them to co-create solutions that is coming from them that can last for longer, but also respect their dignity, respect their value, respect their background and culture. And we know that within the displaced people, there is huge resources. People, they are educated. They know their context and they need better than us. Listening to them will make us strong, not to just bring money, but also to respond the right intervention, create the right solution for those displaced. And that will be a lesson and also an experience that evolves as we listen more, as we test, and also iterate as we go forward. So that is the two levels. So it's for in a position like us, we need to balance the two. Because if we need to understand our people, our customers, we need to listen to them and talk these stories, take this experience. When we talk to the donors, when we talk to the government, we explain what the people actually need, what actually looking for, not from my perspective as public health professional, what I think that is supposed to be, but actually from those people. And that brings strength and bring also uniqueness for us as allies to ensure that that level of creation and ability and willingness to change as we learn more is helpful. And it helped me a lot to make a right decision to support the team in the ground and also ensure that the right support is delivered to our customers in very remote areas.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for placing that emphasis on listening and not on what you think is the right way, because I think a lot of leaders do that. Thank you for placing your emphasis. So given your own growth, right, so what is next for you, right? What do you need to develop into? What kind of a person or skill or ability to make sure that you can have the impact that you want to have in the future?
Yeah, every day we need to move forward if we need to improve in our as individual, but also as organization. And one of the things that is emphasis on importance of co-creation with the community that will be placing us in a better position, but also bring us close to the community, to their need, and also give us a better understanding what the needs are now and also forecasting the future. And that will help us when we talk to the people, donors and others, and that we can explain what is needed right now. And also the second one is continue learning and continue listening, because there is no end. And allied, we call it a journey. It's not a destination. As we reach this level, it will not end there. It's a journey. Your goal will be changing. Your destination will be set for next level and we go forward. And that is where at allied, we need to improve in our delivery. Now, our focus, we provide high quality, but that is not our end. We need also to engage more and work with a partnership. Now, our next is working with the grassroots partners, local group that they know, but they have the power. Work with them, train them, ensure that they have leadership skill, but also help us to co-create with them and with their community to improve and reach more people. And also one of our objectives is scaling up our quality and proven intervention to other local areas. And that will be based on co-creation as well as listening, as well as partnership, and go and find other that can complement us and work together.
Absolutely. Thank you for talking about co-creating, right? That is also so important. So you spoke about continuous learning, being open, and listening directly ties into that. But for you and also for some of your key leaders, you have all the responsibilities or challenges that any leader has in business, right? Holding people accountable, quality, timely delivery. But you have, I think, something more, right? Because lives are at stake, right? There is so much pain and suffering that you see, and you still have to lead from optimism. So for yourself and for your leadership team, right, the key members of your team, how do you continuously learn? How do you invest? How do you surround yourself with people so that you are on the right track? You lead, but you also have to take care of yourself. So how do you do that?
Yes, thank you very much. As a leader, every day you face a new reality and you unusual situations that need to be dealt or resolved, and work with your team to find solutions or at least acknowledge and ask questions for those they can support. In top of that, we are working in a very difficult environment where we need to adapt to new reality. One of the new realities is that security. sometimes we have to adapt that communication are cut across the country, and we need to find a way to communicate with our team through satellite phone, and that is also not putting them at risk. Also, we are working in front line. Our team, every day, they face reality that most likely they go and not come back. And that will put us as leaders in a new level of how to manage our mental wellness and make decisions based on that, but also how to ensure the staff well-being are taken care. As Allied, we work with different, I will really acknowledge our HR global team and our leadership provided support for mental health support, because we lost some of our colleagues because of this war, sadly, and also people lost their homes. Now our colleague responding to the displacement, but also themselves, they are displaced. So you need to manage that stress. Is another, not only from the work, but only from many things surrounding that environment. For us, that's where we really actively looking in how to improve ourselves. It is a new reality for us. We approach it day by day, learning from yesterday to apply it for today. And we take today's lesson for tomorrow for better approach, for better decision. But it is no right answer or specific. We don't know specific answer for every question. But what we promise ourselves, we find solution, reach out to our global team, reach out to my peer country directors that working with other organizations in the same level. And we try to work together. It is a situation that untested before and new for us and new for everyone. And every day we face with the new challenges, new dilemma. We need to work to ensure fairness, that not put people's life at risk, ensure that we are ethically operating, but more important, our services and delivery to those at need continue. So that's the basic three things we consider when we face anything, and we continue to learn in our solution. But it is really a difficult situation, and I really want to call out that our colleague, the 900 staff member in front lines, they are the true hero. They face challenges that unprecedented before, but still they wake up and continue to show up as aware, provide primary health care, water and education and protection, and they never let us down. Every day they exceed the expectation. So that is also one of the relief when we look at that, that will give us encouragement and inspiration to continue in our support. And despite so many challenges, myself and now is displaced, my family in one country and I am in another country, but still we continue to work.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I think more importantly, thank you for your entire team for what you do. There's not enough, I think, thank yous that can that can encompass what you do, right? So following on the same line, right? In terms of practices, or rituals, either individually for you or for your team, what is it that you do on a regular basis to make sure that the mental health is there, right? To make sure that you prioritize love and compassion, when I'm sure you have instances where it is easy to hate or easy to blame others, right? So how do you, what do you do tactically as a rhythm, as a ritual for yourself personally and for your teams to make sure that this keeps on going?
Yeah, thank you very much. It's also, it came at the time of the division. When there is a war, people are divided amongst different lines. And we are a big organization. We work across the country or 18 states. So normally you find different views. Normally you find a different opinion. That also brought to the work environment, right? But really, one of the key things that we tie together as a team, when we face an issue, we work together, we do it as a team. And I guess the team that we really have is really inspiring as they are supporting. So the senior management team around me, around nine, that is director's level, mm-hmm. they are supporting and we are working as a team. And also not as a work level, but also taking care of each other, looking at families, at how you look, and from your face today, you are not looking right, how we can support you. The second one is also keep talking to families outside, because also now some people, most of us, they are now in Sudan without their families. So as soon as we get time, we talk to families, that also give us some relief. And for me specifically, I do reading. I love to read. That also disconnect me from the environment that has some time to ensure that I have some space to recharge, rethink, and be ready for tomorrow. Spiritual as well, they are a strong Sudanese, strong religious. They go and pray and also say that is everything is has plan and we can follow the God plan, and all this also spiritual. It also helps us during this war and during this crisis. But I will really also in the courage also of the colleague in the field, when I listen to them, that also will give me more energy to talk, to move forward, because they are really sharing a good story, but also they are more proud of what they do and they want to do more. So that is also another encouragement that I try to reflect on when I face a really difficult situation mentally.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think these little things matter a lot when we do it on a regular basis. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So before we wrap it up, I want to ask you for what message would you have for the wider world, especially, let's say, the business world or the political world? And because you are leading, like many other people are leading organizations, but you are leading in a very different reality, and a reality which a lot of people never get to see in their entire lives. So when it comes to leadership, when it comes to like change or having a better future, what do you think is required from the leaders in the political and the business world? What is it that they do or talk that they should stop talking in your perspective? And what is it that we are not talking that we should actually start talking on a global level? So that what you, and I think what you're trying to do is not just for you, it's for the entire world. So what is it that is required from a leadership level?
Yeah, thank you very much. This is really a good question. And I'm really glad that you asked this question. And it's really struck me. It's a nice one. Thank you for asking me. It is, I want really to global leaders and international community to know that Sudan is facing a huge crisis. It is the most fast displacement crisis currently in the globally. It's, as we speak, within only 10 months or all 9 months in the crisis, there is 7.6 million displaced. 6.1 million that is within displaced within the country and 1.5 outside the country. More than 14.7 million, they need humanitarian assistance. They can go hungry at any time. This is including 7.3 million children that out of school, they don't have food, they don't have water. What I really want this community, various international community and global leaders to recognize that Sudan require peace, and the peace require interaction from the community and global leaders, including media. Second, also my appeal that for media to highlight the suffering of Sudanese people. Currently that what is happening in Sudan is not highlighted globally. And it seems to be one of the forgotten crises among so many international affairs that is taking the globe by surprise. I am not surprised of that, but a little attention in Sudan crisis will help. And also Sudan humanitarian response plan for last year, 2023, is only funded by 36%. You see the scale of the people. And when you look at the global funding to respond to those people in need, there is only less than 40% funding to respond to humanitarian. And this is only a matter of saving life alone. So also we need global leaders and donors and government extend their support to these people, Sudanese people, at this time. Sudans will be helpful, and they are really a good hope and encouraging youth movement to take this country to the peace and justice. And they are working hard on this way. And they are not looking for independent aid or independent dependency in for donation for long. They need to save life now, but they are ready to build their country.
Thank you. Thank you for this message. I think it's a very timely message. And you said peace requires interaction. And I think that itself says a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Sumer, for giving me this opportunity. It's really appreciated. It's always this is what we are looking because to highlight the suffering of the people, and we don't have that window. So thank you for making your platform available for us. I really appreciate and no word say thank you for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And once again, I don't think I can express enough gratitude, not just for coming on the show, but also for doing what you do, like every second of your life, what you do. I think just I want to express gratitude and wish you best for everything that lies ahead for you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Choosing Leadership with Sumit Gupta. I choose leadership every time I record this podcast, and I invite you to do the same. I invite you to design a life of joy, meaning, pride, and satisfaction, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. If you got something out of this episode, would you share this episode on social media? And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, can you tag them on social media to let them know about the show? And if you are a leader who wants to acknowledge how far you have come and have big dreams for the future, please reach out to me to be a guest on this podcast. And I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. This is what I do most naturally, to lovingly and gently provoke you, to help you see your own light, to help you see what you are already capable of. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to deployyourself.com and subscribe to my newsletter or follow me on LinkedIn. I want to thank everyone who contributed to making this show a reality. And I want to thank you for listening. Always remember that you are enough, you are loved, and you matter. This is Sumit. Until next time, keep choosing leadership.